I'm going to do a brief introduction of the first project that we're going to be discussing, which was a large, first-of-its-kind cross-site survey between a number of the CPCRN sites. There are a number of acronyms that we're going to use. I'm going to try not to use them, but then for the familiar ones, I'll start to use them. So, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. So as Lily mentioned, just to show you a map of the 10 CPCRN sites that we have across the country, and the focus of the CPCRN is really on dissemination and implementation of evidence-based approaches, evidence-based interventions, and practices. So some more acronyms for you there with our EBAs and the EBIs. Did it go to the next one? Let's see. Ah, there we go. Within the CPCRN network, we have a number of work groups, national work groups, and one of them is the Federally Qualified Health Center Work Group. And that's the projects that we're going to discuss today are have taken place within this work group, and there are a number of people in this room who are part of it. There are a number of subcommittees. We have a partnership committee, qualitative group. We're going to discuss some of the qualitative work, a data subgroup. We're looking at mortality to incidence ratios of cancer in relation to distance to people's to FQHCs, as well as this cross-site survey that I'm going to introduce. This is very relevant given the Affordable Care Act, use of electronic health records, patient-centered medical homes. So our work on this survey is very timely and relevant, and we're so excited that we have the partnership of the National Association of Community Health Centers, primary care associations in each of our states, the PCAs, as well as the FQHCs, the clinics themselves. These are the sites that administered the survey in their states, where you see the stars next to the sites. We also have University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill up there. That's the coordinating center of the CPCRN. And while they didn't administer the survey, they had a huge role in deploying the survey, putting the survey online, collecting all of the data into a database. So, of course, they are listed as a key contributor and collaborator on this project. The goal of our cross-site survey was, and I'll just read it here, you have it on the screen, to develop a comprehensive survey assessing factors associated with implementation of evidence-based practices, oh, I snuck in another acronym right there, for cancer control in community health centers. Key partners, again, this could not have been done without the partnership of NAC, which we call NAC the National Association of Community Health Centers, and some representatives may be in the room today, I'm not sure. Our primary care association, so for example, in South Carolina, we have the South Carolina Primary Health Care Association, and Vicki Young is an investigator. She's directly involved with our PCA, as well as the FQHCs. We used a number of recruitment strategies to implement this survey. Sites partner directly with their primary care associations. Primary care associations then may have emailed FQHCs directly to get them involved. Some sites may have recruited clinics directly by email, telephone calls. Some people also had in-person meetings. And one site invited clinics directly to complete the survey using and contacted people by email and telephone calls. To get people to participate, we sent a very nice and comprehensive introductory email letting people know about this survey, what the purpose was, that we're interested in examining implementation of evidence-based practices. We sent the survey link. We also sent a number of reminders because people need to be reminded about surveys, as we know. And we also encourage people to complete survey. Our site, for example, we held an in-person meeting and had computers available and said, please complete this survey. It was deployed in January, and people completed the survey between January and May. I can't remember the exact day in May, but we left it open so that people could complete it. We did IRB at each of our sites, as well as through the coordinating center at University of North Carolina. The survey was guided by a number of models and principles, including patient-centered medical home. I'm not going to talk in depth about this. I'm just going to introduce it in the upcoming presentations. People are going to give you a lot of detail, so you'll have more information. We're also guided by the practice change and development model, consolidated framework for implementation research, which my co-presenters will refer to as CFAR quite a bit later on, as well as the practice adaptive reserve scale, which was key. Just to show you some diagrams, practice change and development model, key area that we looked at was capability and capacity for development. We have the CFAR here, which focuses on a number of domains, the intervention characteristics, people involved, inner setting, outer setting, and process. And different sites looked at these different domains in order to develop questions for this survey. Practice adaptive reserve, Xinping is going to talk about this in her presentation, so I'm not going to cover it too much. But as you can see, we took a lot of time and care to consider certain models that led to the development of this survey. So just to summarize, the measures were based on community guide as well as best practices, CFAR constructs. Comprehensive literature reviews were conducted to see what published measures were out there and then which ones could actually be adapted. This was a very comprehensive process. There was a consensus on final items. I wouldn't say consensus happens like this, but after discussion, consensus was reached on final items through our work group discussions and consultation with stakeholders. So this was not done in isolation just by the investigators. We consulted with funders, we consulted with stakeholders and the partners that I mentioned earlier. And we pilot tested the survey with clinic staff in 3 health centers from 2 of the states. Here's some information on the content. There were 5 sections of the main survey. We had a clinician questionnaire, and this focused a lot on the practice adaptive reserve scale items that you'll hear about. Colorectal cancer screening recommended at clinic. Colorectal cancer screening was the focus of the survey, the example that was used, and you'll hear more about that. Evidence-based interventions to increase colorectal screening. We wanted to know if clinics were using these evidence-based initiatives, including provider reminders, patient reminders, one-on-one education, provider assessment and feedback. We also looked at best practices through a patient-centered medical home and asked a number of questions about demographics. Now, why do one survey when you can do 2? We also implemented another survey, and I should mention that for the main survey, a total of 10 people could have completed this per clinic. And so we had quotas for how many people in different roles in the sites could complete it, so we didn't have 10 providers or 10 nurses completing the same survey. So we had quotas, and then we had one person who could complete this survey best at each of the sites. And this really gave an overview of the clinic characteristics, and we really just needed one person to complete this. So number of patients served, number of encounters, information about staffing. We also asked about evidence-based approaches on this survey. We actually included 6 of them on the clinic characteristics survey. There were 4, as you saw, on the main survey, and just wanted to get information about how they share the information that they're doing, their funding, and how they report their screening. So this was really an overview survey. So we have data from both the main survey and the clinic characteristics survey. This is our response rate by state. You can see number of clinics, number of respondents. It looks a little confusing because we have both actual response rate and estimated number recruited. And we did this that must be one of the time slides from a previous presentation, so I'll go really fast on that one. The reason we have estimated number recruited is because of the quota that we mentioned, and making sure that we had a variety of responses in each clinic, that they weren't all completed by the same type of provider. And so you can see we had about 76 clinics and over 300 respondents, and we're doing very comprehensive analysis right now of the data, which you will hear about. So we're really excited to present the data in the next presentations. The work we think is very significant. We're very excited about this. It really takes a network to do this type of work, and so we could not have done this without the CPCRN. It really is the first large-scale survey across sites to look at implementation of evidence-based practices, patient-centered medical home practices and standards, as well as to look at use the CFER to look at evidence-based approaches for cancer prevention and control. So with that, I'll turn it over so you can hear more in depth about the survey and other work of the FQHC work group.